Now, I just want to thank the worship team. Thank you very much. Now, just take your Bibles this morning, and if you could just give me a little bit on the monitor, praise the Lord, and put a little bit of top in, a bit of tops in my voice, please. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, you probably know the person next to you's got issues, and they probably know you've got issues. Because we all know you got issues. Oh, praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Amen. Amen when you're there. Hallelujah. And the word of God reads thus. It says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. The New Living Translation reads like this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The English Standard Version reads like this. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs or the issues of your life. And just before you're seated, just look at, just tell two or three people, this message is called Issues of the Heart. And you can go ahead and be seated today. Praise the Lord. So we see here, Solomon writes in Proverbs here, I wouldn't say it's that meaty or that pithy statement, because it takes a bit of meditating on it to find out exactly what's taking place here. But essentially he says, above all else, I mean numero uno, number one, guard your heart. And he says, for everything that you do is going to flow from it. Everything that you do comes from your heart. How you handle things, how you cope with things, it's going to come from your what? From your heart. You can take me down a bit up here. Another verse says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. How many people know that your heart will determine the direction you go? When you're up, when you're going up, it's the flow of it is determined by your heart. When you're going down, that too is determined from your heart. People in your life can also experience blessings or curse. People that you and I are connected to, how many people know we can take them up or we can take them down according, or it is determined by what flows from our heart? That's a good place to say amen. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the issues of life. How many people know we can have a myriad, various issues taking place in our lives? Some good and some not so good. And the Bible says that some of the issues, the ones not so good, can be avoided if we are vigilant, you know, and diligent. If we guard, if we police, if we patrol our heart. If we put guards and station people, people in our heart. Vigilance. Somebody say vigilance. What Solomon says here, he says that guarding the heart, and the heart really is the inner core, that inner person that you are, the core, your core. Tell your neighbor, it's your core. It's where all of your thoughts are, your feelings, your desires, and your choices that you or he or she make, the things that circulate within us, our heart, and the things that these things will often, very much often dictate what we do, how we do it, how we cope, how we respond, whether we go up, we go down, and how we get by in life. The heart, this inner part of us, will determine what kind of issues we have in life. Oh, praise the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, it says, For he is like one who inwardly calculating. He says, eat, drink. He says to you, but his heart is not with you. Never translation says that somebody could be there saying, you know what? Man, eat, drink, and smiling away with you. But inwardly, they've got something else going on. They've got some kind of hatred for you. And basically, another translation kind of like puts it this way. It says, as a man thinks, that's really what they're like. A person is really not so much what they show on the outside, but what really is going on the inside. And people know we can hide sometimes. We could hide, we could put on a good front, but have a bad inside. And then some of us, we do it the other way around. We put on a bad front, but you're a little bit of a softie on the inside. Ah, praise the Lord. Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects the man. So when you really, really get to the Bible says really that what a person really is like is reflected. Just like you can look in the mirror, see a reflection of what your face looks like. But the real core of a person, what a person really is like, what they look like, who they are, really stems and is derived from the heart condition. Take them, eat your heart out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is why God says in 1 Samuel 16:7, you know, when he sends Samuel to Jesse's house and he says, no, I found myself a king. I'm going to anoint someone. And so Samuel goes to Jesse's house and Jesse brings out all of his boys, strong men, tall men, handsome men, tall, dark, handsome. I know right now you've got a picture of your pastor right now in your mind, but these guys here. I've got a bit of a paunch, but anyway. So he brings them out, and this Samuel, this prophet of God is going, well, surely this must be the next king, because this guy's looking fine. He's looking regal. He's looking like a man of authority. And God says, no. And then he brings the next son, and they said, surely, man, this person looks like they've got the goods to be, you know. And then God says, no, and brings the next son. And God has to rebuke him and say, listen, I don't look at the outer appearance of someone. God says, I don't. It doesn't matter what they got going on or what they haven't got going on. God looks past our inadequacies. God looks past even the things that that other people might give us praise and plaudits and accolades for. It doesn't matter if you have more degrees than a thermometer. Doesn't matter if you're not edumacated. God looks past all of that. He says, listen, I judge a person by their heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Tell you neighbor, I've got a heart. Amen. How many know we need to have a healthy heart? Oh, praise God. I said we need to have a healthy heart. Why do we need to have a healthy heart? Because if you don't have a healthy heart, you're going to die real soon. Got to have a healthy heart. Because this is where all the issues come from. Even in the natural, do you know that heart disease and cardiovascular problems is the biggest killer of humanity? More so than cancer and anything else. Heart issues. Know what? And in the spirit, oh, praise the Lord, our spiritual being, our inner being, that's why God says, listen. The heart, who you are inside, is the most important thing. That's the heartbeat of your life. It's where everything has to be pumped through, purified and cleansed, and then reprocessed back through the body.
When I met my wife, this is how my heart used to be. Well, when you fall in love, doesn't it? Used to be your stomach, you lose your appetite, but then the heart goes. Praise the Lord. That's why the God says, listen, he says, above all else, police your heart, guard your heart, above all else, take care of your inner life. You can jump. You can dance, you can sing around, you can swing off the chandeliers and sing all types of songs. But when all said and done, he says the most important thing to do with your life is to what? Guard your heart. Make sure it doesn't become polluted, contaminated, infected, diseased, or even hardened. Guard your heart. Police it. Get in there. Examine it. Expose it. Shine the light in it. I know some of us, people like to do the heart bypass. God don't do heart bypass stuff. He gets in there, and if something's wrong, he wants to clean it. In fact, if I know God, God likes to just give it a whole transplant. Oh, praise God. Many times, like people know, we can blame the environment for messing up our life. We can blame people for messing up our life. We could blame systems. We could just blame everything for messing up, for bringing all these issues in our lives, for making us such a conflicted people, a confused people, discombobulated, depressed, oppressed, suppressed. Now we can't express. Messed up, unhappy. I was all right before I met you. I was doing bad all by myself. Oh, praise the Lord. Many times we put the responsibility on the person or thing, him, her, them, it, as the one to blame for the issues and the unhappiness and the dissatisfaction and sometimes the disillusionments we have in life and relationships. But the truth is we all have to interact with people and systems and environments that have the potential to rain on our parade or be that dark cloud on the day that we planned would be sunny. Oh, praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that environments and people and places or things or systems or whatever actually have the power or the sovereign right to negatively affect and mess up our lives. Take away our peace. Brings all types of issues into our lives and just leaves us messed up people. You broke my heart. It's your fault. How many people know that ain't the truth? If anyone breaks anybody's heart, we break our own heart. Because the Bible says we should have guarded it, policed it, made sure that part of our heart, and you got to take a chance with things. You got to take a chance with people. And there will always be an element of vulnerability that we put out there. But there's a part of your heart, of your core, of your life that you don't put out there. You keep that in God's hands. Because how many people know God will never break your heart? God will never let you down. Oh, praise God for all four of you. Let me say that again. I said God will never break your heart. God will never let you down. Never, ever, ever. I've tried. He ain't done it yet. Praise the Lord. It is a boat. Somebody say a boat. I mean, I'll tell you that. Look at them saying, "Neighbor, you're a boat." Some of you look like yachts. I'm glad nobody in here is a cruise liner. Hallelujah. So you're a boat. A boat, no matter how small it is, will stay buoyant and afloat and be able to move, be able to navigate in the deepest of seas, the stormiest of oceans, so long as what is on the outside of the boat, the water, the seas, stay on the outside and they are not allowed to get on the inside. If the outer environment begins to compromise the integrity of what is a boat, in other words, the boat begins to take on the water on the outside, it will begin to sink and fail. The captain, the crew, the staff of the boat, both all have a responsibility to police that vessel and look for leaks and look for cracks and look for fractures so that that vessel, that heart, is not compromised and then fails. We need to have that mindset in our lives. where we guard our heart. Above all else, the heart of your home, the heart of your marriage, your heart of your feelings and your relationships with people, the heart of your business, the heart of a ministry. There's a place called a heart, the core of all systems and processes and relationships. Everything has a heart. Now you're hearing me today. He says, above all else, protect it. Stuff will happen and stuff will take place in the ocean. High seas and storms will happen, but don't allow it to compromise the heart. Guard the heart. It's like you could consider a relationship to be a heart. You know, when stuff happens and sometimes we could allow the stuff on the outside to overpower and break up something that we got a core relationship. I had some issues with one of my sons this week. And, you know, stuff happens. It's just issues, just life. But I want him to be so perfect because he's the perfect son. I just want to be so perfect. And when stuff happens, I'm like, I'm going to lose it. Why? I just want to get mad. And I just said, you know what? That's just the issue. If I lose it and I get all crazy and I start saying the wrong things, man, it's just going to break up something that's even more important. The relationship and the connection that I have with him. Are you hearing me? And sometimes you've got to identify what's really important. Are we going to allow certain issues in our lives, in our relationships, storms, to really, really just compromise something that we should really count as a heart, something that beats? There are just certain things in life that are more important than the issues that we swim through and navigate through and get through in life. I'm teaching good today. Guard your heart. You guard your heart. Once you keep that core, you know, and you're determined, you know what's important. So you know what? This is the heart of this relationship. This is the heart of the business. This is the heart of who I am. This is the heart of the ministry. All these things can take place, but let's not allow something to compromise and break up and pollute and contaminate the heart. Because this is what's more important. That this area that stays free of contamination, that this area stays free of pollution, that this area stays clean. Because when you've got a good heart, you're blessed. Woo! Notice I'm kind of slow today, right? Because sometimes when I get it here and I get all excited, I'm trying to hide me going... I don't know if some of you noticed it. When I get too excited, I'm out here preaching. After I've been on one, yeah, I'm God this. And then I'm up here going, and I'm trying to style it out. Yeah, that happens. I've got to try and like start jogging and all that so I can. You think it's easy being a preacher, running up and down? You've got to have a good heart, good cardiovascular heart. Talking fast and breathing fast, and next minute you're going to pass out. But if I do that, I just say it's a spirit. Makes me wonder now where some of them pass out because they're hyperventilating and lost their... Praise the Lord. Got to have a healthy heart. When you've got a healthy heart, you're blessed. You know you're more content. Things are more flowing and you can keep up. You don't get out of breath in life. You can run upstairs, run downstairs, run left, turn left. If things happen to go a bit quicker, it's your heart's functioning. Spiritually, it works out the same. Healthy heart. Doesn't matter what's taking place around you. You just got this well-being, this peace, and this contentment. Because your heart is healthy. Doesn't matter what he or she or how the storms or how the clouds may gather in life. Because you're guarding your heart. I know what we do. We try to control the seas and the storms and the waves. Or am I the only one? Yeah? What? We want to tell the storm and the waves and the stop. When all we've been told to do really is to, all we've been given permission, all we've been given authority over is not the seas and the storms and life, but really how we cope with life, how we allow it to affect us. We have power over our heart. That's the only thing we've been told to patrol. That's the only thing we've been told to guard. That's the only thing that we've been told to police and to watch over what takes place on the inside of you. Tell your neighbor, we need to have a healthy heart, a healthy inner life. God's grace and power is much more effective in our lives when we guard our heart. He's able to move more. He's able to do more. And we all want to see God show up. We all want to see God move. We all want to see like a greater glory expressed, not just in our lives, but through our lives. We all want to see, but listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 5:8. It says, blessed. How many people want to be blessed? It says, blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. That pure in heart, that means that uncolluded, unpolluted, that uncorrupted, that free. And you know what it's like being on the motorway and there's all this garbage, all this rubbish that's on the street before you get from here to there, and it's like our heart. And so what it basically says, no, we've got to clean our heart. Get all the junk out of the way. Then we'll be able to see God. Not just see what God's doing, but see God do it in our lives and through our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart. We got to get rid of the junk, the bitterness, the malice, the hate, the jealousies. It's just me then. Okay, praise God. The anger, the unforgiveness. The unforgiveness, the bad-mindedness, the fears, the insecurities. Oh, hallelujah. He done it for them, but he won't do it for me. I like this one, the red eye. Don't let me sing that song for you. There was this reggae song back in the day, and it went like this. It said, you're too red eye. That's why you're not going nowhere. No, you're not going nowhere. Bad minded. That's why you're not going nowhere. No. Yeah. You have you ever seen somebody get blessed? And you can't find it in your heart to be happy for them? Just me. God, I wish I was in the church, man, with some people that told the truth. Let me ask you, don't you ever get that thing inside you sometimes and you want something and somebody else gets it and you just kind of get red eye? Oh, praise the Lord. Or somebody else, a kid gets saved and they're doing this and they're going, oh, and then you get all these degrees and all that. And you're over there with your kid and you're like, or somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife. Oh, yeah, you know you're going to say amen. Yeah? Or somebody else's marriage and everything just looks all perfect. Everything looks all good. And instead of being, you find it hard to be happy for them. Hard to celebrate them. I mean, like, sincerely celebrate them. For real, even though you're waiting on yours and you want what they've got now. And you've been probably sowing and doing more work and putting more hard work in, and then they just come along and just bam. They just untied their boat. They're not even in the ocean yet. They're still virtually moored and coming out the dock, and their lives getting blessed. And you've been out here on the high seas, waves, all that stuff taking place, and them get blessed. You're too red eye. How many people know what I'm talking about? And they just get blessed. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say amen? The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Now, that's why I believe, God's into heart transplants. Because I want to see God. And I know you want to see God. But sometimes you got to get on the operating table to see God. You know? God says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, He said, I'll give you a new and put a new spirit in you. The psalmist said in 51, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Give me a clean heart. That was David, man, after a whole season of murder, adultery, and sin, and his whole life and his legacy and his family was just going off course, off trajectory. Things were just going all messed up. Whole legacy was going to be messed up. And David realized, hey, I can't see God right now in my life. But what he did see was the enemy at work in his life. Oh, praise God. And he said, you know what, man, the solution to this is not more this. The solution is this, is not more that. He said, what did he say? He said, Lord, I repent. Create in me a clean heart. He realized that somehow, along the way, his heart had become corrupted, polluted, and caught up with a whole lot of stuff, and it was time to have a clear out. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, the Bible said, rid yourselves of all the offenses that you have committed. Don't we love to remember the wrongs that people do to us? Let me talk to this side, because this looks like real people over here. I said, don't we like to remember the wrongs that people do to us? I bet you can count them off, man. You ain't forgotten none. And he done this at such and such a day at 16 minutes past 4 and 34 hundredths of a second. And you said this, and you said that. Jesus said, you know what? Pray, they said, look, forgive them of our trespasses as you forgive those of us ever. Something like that. What did that do? In other words, he said, look, when we're praying for forgiveness, remember that we're not only forgiving people, but we've committed some sins ourselves. But we do real, if people's sins against us was a A-level or a degree question, we'll all pass. We're flying colors. But how we forget the sins that we do, they add up. Recently, ashamedly saying, I started saying, you know what, man, I'm going to nail every sin I've done for the whole day. And then about 2 hours later, then I can start really praying. Because sometimes we can get in the habit of just, ain't nothing. Giving ourselves a pass. Because we've done it yesterday. God knows. Oh, come on. That little thought. But God forbid somebody step mash your toe. Or say anything wrong to you. Or in my house, move your stuff out the cupboard or the fridge. Oh, I get some fights in my house. I switch off my Sky, and I go in my living room, my kitchen, and I sit down and watch what takes place. Then I get the blame. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I won't go there. Anyway, I still got to go home tonight. As for me and my house, yeah, they're going to kill the pastor. Praise the Lord. I've got some new gadget in my house now. This, just going to divert a bit. What's it called again? The smart meter. They fitted this meter in my house, and I could tell when people are sinning. Yeah, I could tell if they switch on the heater, the microwave, the oven. If they're running the hot water too long, I'm walking around with this gadget. I can tell you've got, I know exactly, because I've gauged everyone's heater and whatever they use. I know, even if they tap into my Wi-Fi. I know how many gigabits stay down. I'm policing my house. But guess what? I'm making sure I don't get a bill I can't pay. How many people know if we was like that with our heart? Because how many things come in our life that we can't pay and we can't handle and we can't deal with? And they love heat in my house, boy. Anyway, let me move on. God's not moving that way. Let me guard my... See, I didn't guard my heart. It just slipped out. Yeah, I had the police at that door. I had a corporal and sergeant over there. And over here, bam! Anyway, let me move on. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:31 to 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Wow, get rid of it, man. Get rid of all that, the damage. Get rid of the hurt. Get rid of the... What's he saying? He said, we've got to learn how to clean up the mess that invades our heart. Don't just walk by. Don't just ignore it. Don't just be indifferent to it. The Bible says to confess your sins. In fact, it says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, it says, whoever hides their sins or fails to confess their sins will suffer for it, but those who confess will find mercy. And sometimes, we all know already that sins is something wrong that we do or we think. But sins are also something that we can retain, hurt done to us, damage done to us. Sometimes we just need to be honest. That's confession too. And that opens the door for God's cleaning grace and power to keep our heart pure. Because once your heart's pure and healthy, guess what? You're going to see God. You're going to see God moving. You're going to see God. And especially if you are married, Lord, have mercy. That's a scripture day and a half. You need that every day. No, I lie. You need that every hour of the day. Every minute. Every hour of the day. And if you're going to get married and you're thinking about getting married, remember what Peter said to Jesus. He said, Jesus, how many times must I forgive them in a day? And Jesus said, 7 times 70 in a day. You can't afford to allow anything to pollute your life, pollute your heart, no matter what they've done to you. Because you're not here to not see God. You want to see God. And God wants you to see him move in your life. Quickly moving on. Tell your neighbor, we need healthy hearts. Tell your neighbor, you don't need a bad heart condition. Cain killed his brother Abel because of a heart condition. Imagine that. One brother kills another brother. Oh, hallelujah. I said one brother kills another brother because of a... Any brothers in here? Any sisters here? One sibling kills another sibling because of a heart condition. Because this one gets blessed. This one gets accepted. And this one starts to get jealous, starts to get hateful. And God rebukes him and says, listen, you just need to do this and do that. And what they get, you're going to get. But instead of processing that, he allows corruption and pollution. How many people know we need to identify corruption and pollution? We need to be able to identify spirits and ways. That's why he said, renew in me a right spirit. We've got to be careful about some of the things that want to seep in, some of the thoughts that just want to seep into our minds, seep into our hearts. And we are there going, yes and amen, I have a right to feel this way. But how many know we need to be able to recognize the devil when the devil comes? Bible says, test the spirit. Test it. Be able to discern. Pray for discernment of spirits. I remember coming up in the Lord, man. We saw that scripture, and it says, pray for discernment of spirits. So when I started praying for it, I used to think, yeah, I'll be walking down the street, or someone in the church, hello, they come and say anything. You have a demon. I have discernment of spirits. But how many people know, when I started doing that, God began to show me that, listen, you'll never get discernment of spirits until you learn to recognize the devils that move in you. That's where it actually comes from. You got to discern what's moving inside of you before you can tell what's moving inside of somebody else. You got to gain mastery of yourself before God will really give you that kind of anointing and spiritual authority to discern what's taking place over there. Jesus told the disciples had a bad heart too. Man, they were walking along, man, and these devil disciples were over there casting out devils, and they said, Jesus, shall we call down fire on them? Shall we? Because they're over there, because they're not one of us. And Jesus says, you know you're not what manner of spirit you're of. You want to kill people? Well, he was telling them, listen, you don't even know what kind of spirit is moving inside of you. 1 minute, Peter, Matthew 16, Peter was over here saying, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're. Sorry, I'm getting this. Let me calm down before I start huffing and puffing and blow nothing down. He says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. And then the next minute he's saying, nah, far be it, Jesus, for you to go into Jerusalem and for them to take you and put you on the cross. And Jesus said, hey, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are mindful of the things of man and not of God. He said, listen, 1 minute you got the right spirit moving in you, and the next minute there's some other spirit that ain't of God in your life. Oh, hallelujah. We need to be able to discern that Cain killed his brother Abel because he didn't arrest or recognize when poison and pollution was coming into his life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Very, 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 very quickly. You know what? Just two more examples. 1 Samuel 18, Saul was a king. Imagine that. Saul was a man. And he sends out David, this ruddy young man, who goes out there on the battlefield and he slays Goliath. David comes back. Now Saul's got everything he needs. But he wasn't secure. Oh, I mean, no, when something's not secure, what is it? Loose, insecure, not tightened, not fastened. He still wasn't secure in who God had called him to be and what God had called him to do and how God has called him to function. And when you're not secure, you always will look for something else to hang on to. How many know we need to learn to become secure in God, in our identity, secure in God, in what he's doing in our lives, secure in God, that we will never miss out on what he has for us. Because here comes David now, and the people are singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. All of a sudden now, even though he sits on the throne, he starts feeling insecure and jealous. I mean, he begins to be filled with hatred because why are they saying he killed 10,000 and only singing a song about me saying I killed 1,000? He's not secure. And from that day forth, he hated David. Try to kill him every day of his life. Try to shut him down. And that's what happens when you have a bad heart. You try to begin to hinder and frustrate something that God is doing in your life. Oh, you don't believe me? When you've got a bad heart, we start to deconstruct and mess with the things of God. That's what it leads to. Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to finish on this, we're going to finish now, we're going to wind down now. Exodus chapter 1 tells the story of how there was a new king in Egypt who didn't know Joseph and his people, and this king, this Pharaoh sitting on his throne, now they were all living at peace. Everything was all right. But then Pharaoh begins to notice that the children of Israel are beginning to grow and multiply, that God is doing a new thing in them, maturing them, blessing them, multiplying them. And he starts to get insecure. Some people know when we start to get insecure or we have a bad heart, we start with jealousy start to take hold of us, and insecurity start to take hold of us, and hatred and ill feeling. And we think we're going to lose and not gain. Especially when we think we're going to lose and not gain. When these things start to take hold of us, what do we start to do? Well, the Pharaoh is a study in that. He begins to enslave them. He begins to try and control and manipulate what God is constructing and blessing and bringing life to. He says, let's enslave them. because they're growing. Let's put some pressure against them because they're multiplying. Let's come against them. Let's read what it says. He says, verse 10 says, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies. He's just using that as an excuse. Any excuse to keep holding somebody down. Any excuse to stop and hinder what God wants to grow. Let's find some reason to frustrate what needs to take place in our lives. But verse 11 says, therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities. Goes on, verse 13. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was rigor. Sometimes we need to be careful about how we're going to respond to things when we feel challenged or insecure. Because these things will test our heart and really show us where we're at. I mentioned to you, man, I used to have a real problem a couple of years ago, really celebrating other people. Does anybody here do Facebook? Put your hands up. God bless all two of you. You ever seen that people get blessed and you just don't want to like them? You just want to say nothing nice about, or you pretend, I didn't see it. Did not see it. I kid you not. Man, and then I started to make a discipline of it, saying something. I hated it, man. So that's how my flesh gets when the demons come in. You pass what? You done what? And this happened and you got blessed. But I would discipline myself. Someone in life and in relationship with something good happened to them and I feel the head start spinning around. I walk up to them. Oh, praise God, man. Well done, man. Well, that's excellent. Awesome achievement. You're laughing because you know it's you. But some of you don't let the demon come out. You just let him lay there. You don't even poke him. You let him abide. I said, nah, man, I got a sound. This went on for a couple years, man. I'm doing this, and every time, man, without fail, every week, my head's going to spin around. My eyes already do that. But anyway, all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm secure. It's all right. That's why when I'm over here, I can still see you. Anyway, hallelujah. So I'm like, but now, these days, man, I've got breakthrough. I've had a bit of surgery, a bit of a transformation in my heart. I can nearly 100% really feel like real sincere. I am blessed. You're blessed. I'm blessed. You got more money than me. I am blessed that your kids are doing well. I'm blessed that your career is going well. I am blessed to see change and transformation. I am so blessed. I'm more blessed that you're blessed than when I'm blessed. Ain't that the place we want to get to? Ain't that the place of purity that you want to get to? Where we don't allow jealousy to reign. And hatred and bad-minded and fear and insecurities to reign in our lives. Where we are blessed to see somebody else blessed. No wonder Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. My gosh. Takes discipline. I like to put stuff up. Sometimes I put stuff on Facebook. I just tell lies. I do. I put stuff up, like I put something real great up there. Like, so I can locate the haters. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and God will do that with you too. There was this guy, I heard this story about this guy, this sportsman, right? Great sportsman. Then he went out to another, and he'd go out on the field, yeah, or the arena, or on the courts, wherever you play your sport, wherever you do your thing in the business. You know, we all do something in some kind of arena of life. Well, this guy, he was a sportsman, and he would go and play his sport. He would go and play his game. Fine athlete, fine, fit. Anyway, and he would do his thing, man, and then some other people came, and this other people came. So there's this whole new crowd now playing this game. And this guy's every week now, every Saturday, every Sunday, every week now, he's just sitting on the bench. He's just sitting on the bench. How many people know he's retired now? I ain't playing. I ain't getting involved in that. I ain't gonna be part of that. I'm not even gonna engage myself in that arena. I ain't gonna go on them seas or travel that ocean. I'm not even going to get involved in this arena here. He retired. He's sitting on the bench. The guy goes up to him and goes, hey, what's going on, man? How come you ain't playing? You got skills that pay bills, as the kids say. He says, you got skills. Because I ain't playing. Because every time I go out there and I get involved in that, they start with all their rubbish. And they make this happen inside of me. And they make that happen inside of me. And this and that. There's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with the ocean out there. How many people know? The guy turned around and said, hey, there's nothing wrong with out there. God's just using out there what you get engaged in to show you what's in here. God's just using that as a radar. Yes. Some of you married your radar. Some of you are raising the radar. Some of you are in ministry with a radar. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you work with radars. Come on, some of you actually come to church with into the radar. You're in relationship with the radar. And some of the things that come up inside of us, and we're blaming outside. How many people know God is saying, no, I'm just using the situation, the environment to show you what's on the inside and what needs to be purified. Create a mirror. Clean heart. Man, and Pharaoh just hardened his heart. The more God showed him, the more God challenged him. God put his people, himself and his people, through 10 plagues, 10 calamities. And all he had to do was just say, yes, God. It's to accept the counsel of God to his life. Imagine that. You put your not just yourself, but your people, your household. You frustrate and you hinder the power of God from flowing through a whole city, your whole family, because of a hardening and a resisting of to God's voice and what God is telling us and speaking to us to our heart. I ain't doing it. No. Don't care what you do. No, I'm not confessing. No, I'm not going to humble myself. I'm going to find a different way. I'm going to do it my way. Me. My. No, it's still going to work for me. We're still going to make it happen. I ain't doing it your way. 10 plagues. Water turned to blood, frogs, flies, boils. And not only the one that really broke the back of Egypt was the death of the firstborn son of every household. That's called a hardened heart. You know, Come on up, Sharon, begin to play. Pharaoh. His condition, that hardened heart, caused him to become, to issue a proclamation of infanticide, to kill off every boy child. You see how when we don't guard our heart, the lengths and the places and the excesses in life that we could end up doing. Oh, never me. I'll never do that. You'll never catch me in a month of Sundays doing that. I will never do that. I remember back in the day, I said, I never smoke. Then I said, I never do that. Then I said, I never do that. And then I said, then before you know it, there's nothing left for me to say that I never do. There's nothing left. The only thing left for me to do was to meet God. Hallelujah. And thank God I met God on this side of eternity. Because there are some people that unless they open their heart, saints and sinners too. Saints, there are some things that we will never see God do in our lives because of a hardened heart. We'll never see him doing this. And when we get to the other side of eternity, we're going to go, oh, jeez, man, why don't I just do it? I'm going to look in the mirror on eternity, and you're going to find lots of mirrors in heaven. Because if the streets are paved with gold, then you're going to say, you fool. You fool, man. Why didn't you just do it when you had the chance, man? You missed out. And they missed out. Look what you're responsible for. Look at who else could have been here. If only we were just giving our hearts to God. Gave him more. And we may have opened the front door, but we kept the inner rooms locked. That's what I do in my house. That's what I do in my house. I'm going to put locks in the cupboards. Kept the inner doors locked, and if we're giving him this area of our lives and this area of our, we'd have seen more God. But many times we want to see God, but we don't want to give him the heart. We don't allow him to do a work over here and trust him and allow him to cleanse it and just give it to him. Then there are some that don't confess. The Bible says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Where does the fool say it? Not in his head, but in their heart. There's no God. I could get away with this. I can keep doing there's no day I have to give account. There's no account. So I can live how I want. Don't need to do Jesus. Don't need to do this. And I just keep going. It's a foolish thing to do. Because there will be a day of account. And what the fool says today, on the other side of eternity, he'll start speaking the truth. Did you know that even the devil one day is going to start telling the truth? Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And I was in prayer yesterday, man. I got this vision of the devil telling the truth. I went, the devil don't tell the truth. And the Lord said, yes, he will. He wait till he gets there before me. And see if you don't see him on his knee saying, you are Lord, you are Jesus Christ. Yes, he does. He will. But the devil being the devil, he's going to be stubborn. He's going to be fighting God all the way to the other side of eternity. But you're here today. You're here today. You are here today. And today's a special day. God has a special time called today. special time. He said, today is the day of salvation. Today is a day of a change. Today is a day to change the future, to create destiny. Today is the day to see God. Today is the day to confess, to unload, to offload. Today is the day to have a clean out. Some people are waiting for a better day. They're waiting for 2016. But God says, listen, this is the best day. Not the 31st of December, not the 1st of January. See, some people are waiting for better. But God says, today is the best. Today is the best. And I dare say that the Spirit of God is telling me right now, telling you and I, that today is the day to confess. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to just let it all out and speak with God and confess sins, confess hurt, confess anger, confess hatred. Today is the day to ask God to come into your heart, to move. Today is the day to just lift a hand and lift a heart and say, God, I can't do this by myself. Today is the day to let God. Let God, let the Holy Spirit begin to move to a deeper level in your heart. To police that heart. To embark on something new and glorious. Today is the day to put into practice today what you will do tomorrow. Confess again. Get before God. Share God. Share your burdens. The Bible says, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. Praying, worshiping, confessing. These are ways to guard your heart, to keep it pure, to keep it clean, to keep it revitalized, to keep it healthy, to keep it beating strong. Go ahead and stand with me today. You know what? You can stay seated if you want. You can stand or stay seated. We're going to just lead us in this song. And I want to, you know, invite you to pray, encourage you to pray. Encourage you to pray. Some of us, I think we all need to just do a bit of confession. Confession of wrongs, confession of sins, confession of hurts, confession of hatred, confession of anger. Just begin to pray right where you're at. Begin to let God be God in your life.